Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
Y'all doing all right? Yeah. Those of you in the last row, well done. We love you so much. Happy Easter. Let's go old school. He is risen. Yeah, the old school church people know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, I'm so glad you're here. You don't need to know that. It's okay. Well, I first and foremost, it's an honor. My name's JP, and we're glad you're here today. I'm going to preach in a few moments. I've been off of preaching for the last four Sundays. So if some of you know, there's a lot in me right now and a lot of coffee. I've had one coffee and one Celsius. That's probably not a good combo. So in the last 35 minutes, is that the Holy Spirit? Is it just the caffeine? But before I do, I wanted to just jump right in and preach. But as we were worshiping, how many of you are just so thankful for the worship, the time of worship? Thank you, worship team. In this church here, if this is your first time here, we're so glad you're here. Let me just tell you something. This is not my church. We pastor, but this is God's house. And we do our best to listen to him and what he's saying by his spirit every time we gather together and every time we do things. And I know for some of you, like, that sounds weird. It's okay, just stay with us. You'll be all right. And as we were worshiping, I just felt the presence of the Lord. I had to sit down for a second. And what I felt, it was his nearness. And actually, there was something that flashed before my eyes. And I just want to do this. This is not really a good, like, Easter, like, intro, but I'm just going to go for it. Is that okay? Can I have two people have some faith? We're two or more in agreement. And maybe this is it, or maybe it's just the Celsius that I just drank, and I don't know. But I saw an image of a car accident. And it was just a really bad accident. And I just felt like the Lord said, I want to heal people today. And so I don't know if that's a physical car accident, if some of you have been in a physical, actual car accident, or if you feel like your life is just in an accident right now. I think it's an actual physical car accident. And maybe there's some lingering issue, something that, like, is just bothering you, something that needs to be healed today. The Lord just wants to touch you. And I know that sounds weird, but it's just the Lord. He's really kind. I'm going to ask, so that it's not weird that I just said that and I stand up here and wonder, I'm going to ask if you're in the room and you've been in a car accident recently, or you just maybe you want to grab a hold of that, the second one, and be like, my life feels like it's... Can you just slip your hand up? Is there anybody? Amen. Can you keep your hand up? Guys, if you're around him, stretch your hand out. Anybody else? Y'all, this young man just was brave. So anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, back there. Okay. I'll do it a third time just for the sake of you. Anybody else? For faith. There we go. Okay. Oh, two. Keep your hands up. Praise the Lord. Y'all gonna make me just be up here like it's the Celsius. Stretch your hands out to those people. Keep them up. We're a family at Oasis. If you see them, there's one behind you. Lord, we just pray supernatural touch upon these that have been in an accident, Lord, that feel like life is hard, feel like they're going through it right now. Lord, I just pray for any bodies in this room that are impacted by an accident today. Lord, you've risen from the grave, and your cross has paid for us to have complete healing and wholeness. So we just speak wholeness over this man, over these ladies, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, touch their lives. Touch their lives, Lord. Strengthen them. Help them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, can we thank the Lord? All right, thank you. Ready to jump in? All right. I believe today the Lord really has something for each one of you here. If you're here, you're not here because it's Easter, and you come to church on Christmas or Easter. You're here because the Lord wants to talk to you. We believe that. I've been praying for for a few weeks now for this morning. And just, I know this is a great time for people to come into the church that may have not come in a while. And there's no judgment. We're so glad you're here. But some of you, you've been coming. Regardless of where you're at on that, the Lord has something to reveal to each one of us today. I believe that. And I'm very expectant for it. Friday was so special. We had our Good Friday service together with the three other churches. It was powerful. Friday has happened. The cross, which we sang about today, the bloody cross, that's happened, right? 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus came and he died. He hung on a cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. It is real. It is true. And his side was pierced and blood poured out. And in that moment of the blood being shed, there was an access. There was a way in to forgiveness. There was a way in to redemption. There was a way in to your life becoming free. So Friday's happened, and we look to that cross. We believe in the blood of Jesus. I pray that, I preach that. But as the old preacher once said, Friday happened, but Sunday's coming. And Sunday's here today, and this Sunday we remember what happened when he came 3 days later up out of that grave. He woke up. He woke up like he said, like Jesus said he would. And he walked out of that tomb, and in that moment, everything changed for us. Everything changed. That's why when Pastor Josh said life is here today, life is here because he's alive. You all need to help me. I've been off. Life is here because the King is not dead. He's not on that cross anymore. He's not in that tomb. He's seated next to his Father in heaven right now. That's the gospel. Amen. And so God loves you. For God so loved. That's the title with a little subtitle. Can I give a subtitle? Most pastors don't. For God so loved. Go get Peter. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, go get Peter. Turn to the one you didn't say to and say it to them too. Go get Peter. Have you ever been in a moment where your name was called out and you were just so surprised that your name was called out? Some of you, it's jury duty assignment. When you get called in the room, they're like, juror number 7. You're like, dang it. Right? I just tell them I'm a pastor and they let me out real fast. I don't know why. That's funny in my head. Some of you need to laugh in church. You know, some of you, you get a prize at your job and you're just shocked. They call your name out, employee of the month. You're excited. You're like, wow, look at me, you know? I've had my name called out many times and it's fun and it's exciting. I've also had my name called out when it's not a good moment in a situation. Like when my full name, some of you don't know, when the name John Philip is said, it's not a good thing, right? All you kids know when your parents use your full name, it's like, oh boy, here we go, right? When my name's called out or, you know, when Rachel uses it, I'm really in trouble. And then there's moments when your name's called and you're just kind of shocked. You're almost bewildered, like, oh, why are you calling my name? I don't deserve my name to be called in this moment. I please forgive the personal story, but I had the chance and honestly the privilege to play soccer in college, and it was a great opportunity to do that for 4 years. And but I was bad my first year. I was bad. Like I walked in, I was like, I should quit. And I thought that. And then in my sophomore year, I progressed a little bit, thank the Lord. And there was a moment, and I remember it forever. It was the day that my name was called for the first time ever that I was gonna be getting a chance to start. And the coach is in our team meeting and he's like, here's the roster. If you guys don't know, there's a roster and here's the team, yada, yada. And he said, JP, and I'm looking around like, did we add another JP to this team? Because I was so confused, because in that week, I literally had the worst week of practice of my entire career. Like it was the worst, guys, like when I tell you, I've been playing for some time, I'm 19, like it was like soccer balls passed to my foot and it was like my foot became like amputated. It's like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, you with me? It was that bad. And then all of a sudden in that team meeting, coach is like, JP. And I was like, you got it wrong here, buddy. Like, you got it wrong here. I was like, what is going on? And I walked away out of that room kind of like, that man missed it. That man missed it. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be called up. I just had the worst week of my career. Are you with me? Go to the Gospel of Mark. If you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. We'll have a big Bible on the screen. But if you have your Bibles, go to Mark. I'm going to preach today on this Resurrection Sunday out of the Gospel of Mark. And let me just say this. Most pastors or preachers don't touch Mark's account on Easter Sunday, because before other passages in Mark 16 were added, really Mark 1 through 8 really just kind of ends abruptly. It kind of ends on a disappointment. It kind of ends like, what's going on here? But I'm going to do it today. Is that all right? I'm going to take a shot at it. Is that all right? Mark's gospel account, I believe, throughout his entire writing, Mark it just reveals constantly, and this is the good news of Jesus today, that man can do nothing apart from God. And God will not change his story when men fail. Y'all need to say amen to that. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you will do, his story for your life and his plan of redemption that he has been knitting together before you were born, can I just say that? It will not fail because you fail. This is Mark's account. This is his entire thing. What seems to be impossible, what seems to be broken, Mark is trying to get to the people of God. Listen, God is alive and he will see it through. Mark's writing to a bunch of people that now are following the way of Jesus, and they're in Rome. And let me just give you a quick context of what's happening here. In that time in Rome, in Mark's writing, Christians are not liked. And it's nothing new today. But they're not only not liked, can I tell you? And it's not because they're doing anything wrong or mean. They just now are following something way different than what the culture is telling them. And these individuals, these believers, are actually being persecuted. Oh, we hear that word and we're like, oh, persecution. I've been there. No. They are being fed to lions in the Colosseums. Can I just teach for a second? Y'all right? Happy Easter. Like it's a brutal time for believers. But Mark's writing to them saying, hey, church, he's alive. Do not give up. It does seem dark, but it is light. He is light. He is alive. That do not give up. And so Mark writes this account, and it's crazy that he's like, please, don't lose heart. He is alive. And so Mark's account, it says this. Are you ready? Should we get to the Bible? Okay. Should we get to the Bible? Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, which, come on, what a name. If we have another son, let's call him Salome and just mess his life up forever. I'm just funnier in my head. I need to keep these thoughts in my head. It's like a cold cut sandwich name. Like, what's going on? Church should be fun. And Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week. So this is, according to the Jewish calendar, the way that they do it, this is the third day. Are you with me? Jesus said on the third day. On the third day. So yes, it says the first day of the week, but this is the third day. And they're going. Just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Okay, picture real quick. I'm going to keep going, but just for a second. There's these women, these ladies, these incredible women, and Salome. And they're walking towards the tomb that they know is sealed shut. They know that Jesus died and he was put in that tomb, and they're walking in that direction, and all of a sudden they look and go, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do? But just real quick, this isn't my message, but here's an extra one you can give an offering later. What I love about this moment is that these ladies, these women, and Solomon, like they don't stop walking towards what they knew to do next. Some of you in your faith, you're uncertain of what to do next. Just keep walking towards what God has called you to. Because it will happen. So they're walking like, who's going to do this? How are we going to get the... I think they would probably be like, yo, where's all the disciples? Where's the dudes with muscles? Like, they're nowhere to be found. How are we going to do this? But they just said, we're going to go do what we know to do. We're going to go honor the king. So Verse 4 says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Come on. Come on. Come on. Do you want me to read that again? We all need to wake up and say amen. When they saw that the stone, which was very large, notice Mark says, it was not a small little pebble. This was a very large stone, and it had been rolled away. We're getting there. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man. Context, it wasn't like a human man. It was an angel, okay? It was an angel from the Lord. And he was dressed in white robes, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. I don't know about you, but Mark's writing is like so funny. And they were alarmed. If I walked to a tomb that I thought was closed, and I'm wondering how the stone was going to get moved, and I show up, and the stone is moved, and then I see an angel, I'm going to be a little bit more than alarmed. I'm throwing the spices at him, and I'm running the other way. Just me? This is the Bible. You guys need to read the Bible like this. It's awesome. And it's like, whoa, what's happening? And the angel's sitting. I love that moment. And this is not my message, but this is good. I love that the angel is sitting. You know why? Because in that time, when a teacher, when someone of authority sat down, it revealed, it's done. So he wasn't standing next to the stone like, look, I did that, guys. He's like, no, Jesus, it's, guys, I'm sitting because I get to sit on victory because Jesus is victorious. He reveals himself. And so the ladies are like, what is happening? And the angel says, don't be alarmed. It's like, can you say something else? No, it's the best words. Don't be alarmed. He said, you are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He has risen. He's not here. He's not here, guys. Can I tell you today, in 2024, he's not there. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. See the place where they laid him. Another account talks about how they walk in to the tomb, and there is the clothes that Jesus is wearing. You know, on the cross, it was very bloody and gory and nasty, and blood was shed and poured out. It was the sacrifice. But then you get to that tomb moment right here where they walk into the tomb, and there he is. In another account in the Gospels, it talks about how when they walked into the tomb, Jesus' clothes that he was wearing were folded up nice and tidy and neat. I think Jesus had OCD, so I can relate with him. But I think it's much more than that. The cross is that bloody payment. It's that bloody, gory payment where your life should be on there, but he does it. But what's powerful, I'm going to preach the Holy Ghost. I feel I will. But the tomb, they walk in and it's neat. It's clean. It's in order. Why? Because the cross will pay for what you've done wrong, but the resurrected tomb will put your life in order. I feel the Lord. Like the tomb, we love the cross. But it's that tomb, it's that resurrected power that brings your life into the order that God has destined for you from the beginning of your life. I believe this. I don't believe our lives are called to be chaotic. I don't believe as believers and followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, as difficult as this is, our lives are actually called to live in supernatural peace when it's super crazy. We're called to be the most hope-filled people in the midst of some really pain, big pain things happening and bad news happening all around us. We're called because he's risen. He's not here. And you get to enter into that with him. Okay, should I get to my message? Verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. But go now. Now that you've seen he's not here, go, the angel tells the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered. I feel you. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We get the accounts that they did go and say something, right? But right there, verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter. Everyone say, and Peter. See, moments before the crucifixion of Jesus, Peter is a follower, a disciple of Jesus. He's one of the 12 that Jesus calls out and calls and says, come follow me. I'm just going to teach the Bible for just a second, okay? And he says, come, follow me. And Peter gives up everything he knew to go follow the man, to go follow Jesus. And Peter, you know, it's messy when you start to get into moments in the Bible. And not messy, forgive me. It's like more, you got to be careful. It's like, who do you resonate? Someone asked me, who do you resonate most with in the scriptures? You know, and that's good. Some moments I resonate with David, and some moments I resonate with Gideon, and some moments I can look at Peter's life, and I can be like, I'm there. And in this moment, right before the crucifixion, I can resonate with Peter at times. See, what happens is this, is if you know it, Peter is there with Jesus days before Jesus goes to the cross, and Jesus is like, listen, you're going to deny me 3 times before I go to that cross. And Peter's like, nah, I'm the man. I'm your man. You know, I'm paraphrasing some of the, is that okay? He's like, yeah, I'll give you the 2024 version. He's like, we ride with you. He ain't going anywhere. You do whatever I need to. I'll pull out a sword, right? I'll pull out a sword and cut a dude's ear off in the garden for you not to go to the cross. Peter did that, if you don't know. Jesus is like, listen, Peter, you're going to do it, man. Like, I don't know. You're going to do it. He's like, never, never. But in Luke 22, verse 54 through 62, I'm just going to read it. So they arrested him, speaking of Jesus, and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus's followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. This is moments after Pete's like, I'll never. Can you relate? Just me? Come on, don't leave me hanging. I don't know him. After a while, you would think Peter would catch it the first time. Like, shoot, Jesus has said this about me. I've already done it once. I got 2 more chances. Let me nail it. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not. It's like, let me lay it down very clear for you, Peter's like. About an hour later, once again, like, Pete, get it together. But this is us as humans. This is the reality of us. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And this is it right here. At that moment, the Lord turned. Oh, he's getting lashes and beaten and just spit on. And Jesus hears Peter 3 times and Jesus just turns at him. Suddenly the Lord's words flash through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. That moment was the darkest hour of Peter's life, in my opinion. In the moment where Jesus revealed to him over 3 years of ministry, showed how good he is. In that moment, Peter fails the one who showed him the kingdom of God. Fails him so bad that Jesus, in the midst of getting beat and bruised and spit on and crown of thorns on his head and lashes with glass in it, scraping off his back, turns and looks at him. I don't know. Maybe it's just where I'm at in life today. I don't know if I look at Jesus in that moment as judgment. I think it's Jesus turning with compassion. He turns and he looks at him and it says that Peter just leaves the courtyard bitter and weeping and sad. And man, he's just like, I just can't believe I did that. That's a dark night. There's another night in scripture in John chapter 3 where it's the darkness of night where a man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And Nicodemus in John 3, and I'm just going to teach real quick for the sake of time. In John 3, we all know John 3:16. This is my message for God so loved, right? We all know, right? Hello, for God so loved the world. It's like for God so loved the world, like the Tebow eyes, the well, there was another guy, I'm not gonna mention him, but you know, like we all know. But that passage of scripture in John 3 is one of the most profound and important passages of scripture, I believe, for every single person in this room today. See, in John chapter 3, a high priest, a Pharisee, comes in the cover of darkness because he's afraid that if he's seen going to talk to Jesus, he'll get canceled. But he says, you know what? I would rather go in the darkest of night and find out who this man is than stay lost in what I think I know. So he goes and he sits with Jesus, and Jesus begins to share the anthem, what I believe, the anthem of heaven. And Jesus sits there and tells him in John 3, verse 14, he says, just as Moses, because Nicodemus is like, hey, what do I do? How do I receive the life you've been preaching? Like, how do I, better yet, can I just paraphrase, like, how do I get in? How do I get into what you've been preaching and showing and revealing? And Jesus is like, listen, let me teach you real quick. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's Friday. So that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. This is it. For God so loved the world. Can you say so loved the world? That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Come on, y'all need to say amen. It's the promise of the gospel that Jesus is there saying, listen, I have come into this world to die, to be hung on a tree so that the world could come in and follow me. Woo! Hello? Are you thankful? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes, and can I just tell you that word believe is not some intellectual agreement. It's not religion. It's not showing up on some Sundays and be like, that's, yep, I believe in him. And then going out and living like complete opposite. That's not what it means. What it means is actually just real quick, it means putting your complete trust in life into him. It's coming from your old man into the new man. Old woman into the new woman because of the cross. That's what that word believe means. See, in this world, in this age today, the cultural norm is like, I believe in Jesus. It's like, really? Well, what's he doing in your life? He's cool. He's my homie. It's like, no. He's much more than cool and your homie. He's king. And he's Lord. And when I came through that moment of the cross, when I entered into that moment through the cross of knowing him, my life died and I was now following him because he's king. It's much more than just intellectual. Are you okay? It's much more than just like, oh, yeah, I can intellectually agree with that. It's a heart, it's a soul crying out going, he gave his life. And I know because I've experienced it. But whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Two different nights of darkness. One, Nicodemus comes and is like, tell me the truth. Show me, reveal yourself to me. And we get the anthem of heaven. And then we get to the darkness of night of Peter, who's like, I will never. Ah! Like I'm so loyal. It's like, it's really hard to be loyal without resurrection power in you. It's really easy to be loyal until the pain hits. It's really easy to say, I love Jesus when all the bank account is full and the things are going well and the marriage is healthy and strong. It's really good to be like, but then when that stuff hits, because life hits, does anybody know that? When loss comes, when a car accident happens, it's like, hey, are you really who you say you are? Are you really the one who said you would save my life and get me through this and redeem me? I've given you. And Peter's here and he's like, and he leaves bitterly, weeping bitterly. Mark's account to me is so profound because in the moment of the greatest day in history, in my opinion, the tomb opening up, Jesus doesn't, the account of the angel doesn't tell us that he's like, hey, go get the disciples and leave Pete. I would. Don't judge me. You all would too. Like that man, he ain't with me. Cut him. I'm like, yo, I saw you. I looked and turned around at you and you did it again. After some hours of thinking through this, you still. Anybody like, but I'm not Jesus. Praise the Lord. And Jesus looks, and the angel looks and says, go tell the disciples and make sure, can I just add a little bit of color? Not extra Bible, just some color. He's like, yo, go get that man, Peter, who's crying, who's broken, who's lost, who feels like he just did everything wrong, who feels like there's no hope for him. Go get that man out of the closet and pull him out of there and bring him to Galilee where I told him I would go and meet him. This is Jesus's promise. This is the message of resurrection. It's like, yo, go get that man. And I can imagine the women. This isn't in here. Just please don't throw stones. I'm not adding to the Bible. But I can just imagine the women like, did he say Peter? I think he meant Matthew. Are you, like Salome's like, no, he said Peter. That's crazy. Are you with me? Denied him in the darkest hour. He rejected him in the darkest hour. He pushed him away in the darkest hour out of fear, out of so much like disappointment. Like, I didn't think this is, Jesus, you said it was going to happen this way, but I didn't think it was going to happen this way. You told me you're going to die on a cross, but I didn't think it was really going to happen. Jesus is like, get Peter now. I don't know about you, but that moves me. You know why? Because my name could go in place. Hey, go get the guy. Go tell people that the tomb's empty. And oh, please go tell JP. Please go tell JP that the tomb's empty. And it's empty for him to now enter into resurrected life with me. You guys know, for some of you, you know this, so forgive me, but at 22, I was a mess. I still am in so many ways. I remember at 22 sitting in a church service of all places when my sister invited me to go, and I was like, I'm not going to church. She's like, I'll buy you dinner. I was like, I'll be there. I was broke. Somehow she had a bunch of money. I don't know how that worked out. She's probably stealing from me all those years. Just kidding. Kind of. I'll get sozoed later. I remember sitting in what appeared to be the darkest part of my life. Probably was, in so many ways. Broken. I mean, abusing substance, abusing anything possible, running with the worst of the worst. I mean, I was a good sinner. Like, I was good. Any of you, like, just me? You're like, I cannot believe the pastor, the man of God, is telling us how good he was. It's the reality. Fulfill any brokenness in me by sleeping with whoever I could. Your pastor? Yeah, I was broken. And I needed rescued. My sin was so heavy. And I remember in that moment, Jesus, I just experienced the embrace of a heavenly Father. And I felt like he said to me, hey, Jay, I'm here for all these people, but I'm here to get you. Because God is so big that he cares about everyone, but he's so good that he cares about the specific one. Olivia, can you come? And he said, go get Peter. That's like me. Go get JP. It's like, go get Tim. Go get Chaz. Go get Kevin. Go get them. Go get them and bring them. And let me reveal to them once again that I love them. Because the anthem of heaven over in John 3 is the anthem that I believe was ringing over Peter's life. I just believe this to my core, and I'm almost done. I believe that Peter's standing over there in the corner, like this, like, please nobody find me. And the ladies come, and Salome's like, hey, Pete. And he's like, yeah, dude, leave me alone. And he's like, Peter, he's alive. And he's calling you by name. And I just believe Peter walked out. I was like, Me? This guy? No. Not me. And I just sense that those words of John 3:16, for God so loved Peter. For God so loved that anybody that would come would be saved. I just believe Peter just, wait, I am that one that believes in him. I am the one that knows him. I am the one that knows that he is God. Because Jesus asks Peter earlier in the Gospels account, like, who do they say I am? And Peter goes, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, no one taught you that, but the Father in heaven revealed that to you. So Peter's like, I know him. And I just believe he took step by step. He's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say to him? How am I going to approach him? And I love that in another gospel account, it says that Jesus goes and meets the disciples, but he first went and meets Peter. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me today. The one that was so missing the mark, the one that was in the darkest of nights, the one that didn't think there was possibly a way for him to get out, Jesus says, I'm coming for that one. I'm coming for everyone, but I'm coming for you today. And in that moment, the tomb opened up. It's like, man, Peter, now you have access to get into the resurrected life with him. He loves you that much. I don't know about you, but that just messes me up in the best way. Anybody? Can we just be honest? It's like, man, that empty tomb, that's the only way that I get to walk free and free indeed. Are you hearing me? See, what's the point? The point is, for some of you, you're gonna come out of the grave today. You're gonna come out because he loves you so much. He's been talking to you and ministering to you and just revealing himself to you. You're gonna come out. But for some of us, we need the reminder today that the cross is precious and beautiful, and my goodness, the blood is what paid. But he didn't stop there. Are you hearing me? I said he didn't stop there. 3 days, raises to life and walks out. And he said, anybody that would call upon me and recognize me as Lord and Savior, get to come out of a grave with me. See, church, we need to enter into the resurrected life. Because when you enter into the resurrected life, things change. Did you hear me? Things get in order. He said to Peter, it's my third close, this is all right. He said to Peter, hey Peter, your name is no longer Simon Peter, but your name's Peter. What? yeah, you're no longer Simon, you're just Peter. Peter's like, okay, cool, I got a name change. Like, Luke, did your name change? He's like, ah. He's like, your name just didn't change because I wanted to change. Hey Peter, your name's changing because the entire church is going to be built on you. Peter's like, what? I'm a failure. I missed it. I cut a dude's ear off. Come on. Got the wrong guy. He's like, no, I don't. I have the right guy. You're going to build the church. Because that's what the resurrected power of Jesus does. It calls you out of what was. It calls you out of who you think you are. It calls you out of death. It calls you out of despair. It calls you out of failure. It calls you out of shame. It calls you out of guilt. It calls you out of a past that is so broken, you're like, I don't know how this is ever gonna fix. It calls you into freedom with it. It calls you out of generational curses that have been, you're like, I just can't break free of this. It calls you out of going, man, I don't know what to do, but he knows what to do. If the tomb is empty today, and can I tell you, it will stay empty forever. Eric, come on up. Tomb's empty, guys. I know I don't have confetti falling from the sky and like, woo! The tomb's empty. Some churches do that. It's wild. I love it. I told you, Palm Sunday, we had real life donkeys and animals at our old church, for real, like walking down. We used to also have confetti. I'd be like, he's risen. It's like, what? What just happened? It's a true story, dude. We wild. You know what I'd rather see? You know what he would rather want? Not a bunch of confetti, but a life going, I'll give you my worship. I'll give you me. He called me by name. Hey, go get the disciples. And hey, don't forget JP. Come. 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 Be with me. Rest with me. Receive from me. Live in a life that I've destined for me from the beginning of time. Is this good news? I said, is this good news? In the face of so much, this is good. This is the best news. Would you stand to your feet? I really want this to be a holy moment for a second. I just ask that you maybe just close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Don't worry, we're not gonna pop confetti or do any of that. I've already given you the disclaimer. If you can, just feel comfortable, every eye closed. On this Sunday, Resurrected Sunday, that word is being said to many of you in this room. Go get the disciples and go get, fill in your name there. Go get them. No matter how long you've been serving the Lord, maybe you're in a place where you feel like you've just failed him time and time again, he's still saying, go get him. Go get him right now. And let's walk out of this tomb together. Let's walk into resurrected power together today. For some of you in this room, you've heard the story of the cross and heard the story of Jesus today. It's the power, it's the truth. It's the thing that changed my entire life, and I won't stop telling people. But it's available for you to be changed too. It's available here today to be received, to bring your life that might seem so dark, the darkest of nights, come into a light that will light your heart up, light your eyes up, light your life up that you can't imagine. Sure, there'll be plenty of trials. Sure, there'll be plenty of loss. We're not one that preaches Jesus will fill your bank account tomorrow. No, but he will give you eternal life with the Father. What we were destined and created to be from the beginning of time. If you're in the room right now, I want to pray for two people. First, I want to give an invitation. I want to give an invitation to you today. I want you to give an invitation to come to receive Jesus, to say yes to that power of the cross and that empty tomb. That cross that paid for your life. It was that cross, that blood that was shed for you. You can't do anything. You can't earn it. You can't try to strive. You can't, it's impossible, guys. He did it all. That's the account of Mark. He does it all. Humans can't do it, but he did it for us. If that's you in this room, if you want to say yes to Jesus, would you just slip your hand up right now? This just slip your hand up. It's a sign of faith, a sign of act. Yeah, it's act of faith. Yeah, every eye closed. Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm not gonna have you pray a prayer after me, but I just, in your own heart right now, I'm gonna pray for you. I just want you to say, Jesus, thank you for calling me home. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me from all my sin. In your own words, just tell him right now. He loves to hear it. Lord, I thank you for these hands that are raised right now. People coming home today. The blood of Jesus covering lives right now. Forgiving, purifying, cleansing from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you that right now you're putting your robe of righteousness on them. You're calling them right now, your sons and your daughters. They're forever free. They're no longer orphans. They're no longer wandering. They're no longer lost. They're found today. And so we thank you for the promise of salvation upon every hand lifted, every heart lifted to you today. And we say yes and amen. Second thing real quick, I just want to pray. If you feel like you're Peter right now, you feel like you've been running and hiding and scared and done too many things wrong, you've denied him. The Lord's power of the resurrected tomb is that you cannot close the tomb. Did you hear me? You cannot close the tomb. I see that, I feel that. If you need the Lord to remind you that you can't close the tomb right now, that he is calling you to resurrect the life, slip your hand up right now. High, slip it high. Yeah, anybody else, just slip it up. If you want more of him today, I just see he's inviting us into the resurrected life of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling us by name today. You're bringing us out of the tomb. Once again, you're bringing us into resurrected life with you. Thank you that you've called us by name today. Thank you that you've redeemed our lives today. Thank you that you're restoring people in this room today. Thank you that people are no longer lost, no longer forsaken, no longer bound, but they are free today and free indeed right now. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection that is alive and is still going and is still moving in our lives, Lord. We praise you today. We give you honor today. We give you glory today. And we say thank you, Lord, that we get to walk in the resurrected power of Jesus. Come on, right now, if you have any gratitude, just begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you came, that you died, that you raised to life, and you're calling us with you to walk with you, to live with you, to leave that tomb today. So Jesus, we rejoice in you, we honor you, and we praise you. And we say this all in Jesus' name, and everyone says, come on, and everyone says, come on, can we just sing this song? Come on, can we just rejoice with them? Hallelujah, come on.